Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It's good to see so many people here, so many familiar faces and new faces. Welcome as we gather in God's house. And I got a question for you. What do John Mellencamp, William Rehnquist, Bruce Willis, Lonnie Anderson, Chris Christopherson, Dale Earnhardt, Paul Simon, Troy Aikman, Sally Struthers, Garrison Keillor, and Norman Schwarzkopf all have in common?
They're Christians.
They're Christians. And today we'll emphasize they are Lutherans. They are Lutherans. They all believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, is President, is Prime Minister, is Caesar. What do you want to say? That Jesus Christ is it. He's above everything else. He won our salvation through his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. And we live that out by Paul's teaching that we are justified by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. We are justified by grace. And that grace is wonderful, and that grace can be awful. How do you live this out? How do you live this out? Well, let's see an example here. There were two ladies, Nancy and Mary, and they were great friends, great friends. And then June came on the scene, and June became both their friends. But when June was alone with Mary, she would say that Nancy gossiped about her. And when she was away with Nancy, she said that Mary gossiped about her and caused friction. Eventually, June moved away, but Mary and Nancy didn't talk to one another. Eventually, Mary felt bad about this because Nancy was her good friend. So she thought one day she would just go and say, "Hey, Nancy, if I hurt you, I'm sorry that this division is not worth it. Life's too short." So she went to her and she really asked for her forgiveness. And Nancy, she wanted to forgive her, but she had so much hurt. She was so much pain, and she had so much wound that it was difficult. It was difficult. Justification by grace is not always easy. It sounds good, but when we apply it to our real lives, it can be very difficult because grace can hurt. You know, hurt feelings, anger, resentment, beliefs, all these things can get in the way and block the flow of grace, can block it. Take the authors of our three lessons that Karen read today. Jeremiah, full of grace and the promise. St. Paul wrote most of the letters and most of the New Testament. Jesus Christ, our Lord. They all suffered. Jeremiah, read Jeremiah. He was prison. He ended up in exile in Egypt, away from his home. He died in Egypt. St. Paul, he entered Rome as a prisoner. And because he had a Roman citizenship, they couldn't crucify him, but they cut his head off. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, Son of God, was crucified, a horrible death on the cross outside of Jerusalem by the garbage dump called Gehenna, where they burnt the garbage. You see, there is something about grace that is the best thing in the world, and it hurts like hell sometimes. Not to dwell on the negative images, not to dwell on negative feelings or negative lifestyle, but to enter into the graces of freedom and joy and positivity of God sometimes can be scary. I mean, look at people. The scientists that studied this, they said, if somebody hears a negative thing, on the average, you'll tell 11 to 14 people. Hear something positive, you'll tell on the average 1 to 3 people. That's why these news outlets, they make so much money. They go in the negative, and they try to scare you, and they tell you these things to get you all riled up and want to watch more and find out more. Rather than the hope we have in Jesus Christ, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly grasped in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the archetype of our particular style of Christianity is Martin Luther. But if you study Martin Luther, he discovered this grace in a very difficult way. Because Luther originally wanted to find God in his way, like Frank Sinatra's song. I want to do it my way. And in his day, the way to do it was going through the monastery, because that was a way to go straight to God, to get away from the world. And he went to the toughest monastery in 16th century Germany, you know, the Augustinian Black Friars. They even sounded Augustinian Black Friars. They were like the Marine Corps. They were tough. They ate bad food. They stood out in the snow in their bare feet. They whipped themselves, all in all, to please God. And they ate bad food, and they had uncomfortable clothes, and they had no heat any place except in the bathroom. And Luther liked to be in the bathroom. The latrine was a nice place. It was warm. And to earn his way to God, to do it his way, and to be a self-made saint, to do it with willpower. He said if he could get to heaven by being a monk, he would be in the highest heaven. He did it all right. He followed the rules. But he had no peace in his heart. He had no peace inside. But something happened as he studied Holy Scripture. As he studied the Bible, he wrestled with the book of Psalms, and he taught Psalms to the students. He taught the novices in the monastery. He studied and taught Jeremiah and Habakkuk. He studied and taught the Bible, Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He taught Paul's letters and wrestled with Paul's letters, especially to Romans and Galatians. And he got a taste of grace, grace that could not be earned, but only received as a gift. And he found that it was through faith, not by works. And his heart was broken open. And he said that was like heaven was open to him. And he saw the angels and archangels. And his heart was broken. He died and he rose again in Christ, and he was a new man. And he learned grace was not busyness, activity, trying, working, but rather it was becoming still. What do we just sing in the Psalms? Be still and know that I am God. It becoming quiet, becoming receptive to God's word, and to contemplate and meditate on God's word. That's why we're having all these devotional helps. I want you to read the word. If you can't do it every day, then every other day. But to read God's word consistently, and to get into the word, and to allow God's grace to happen as it happened to Luther. Luther once said, I have such a hard day today, I'm going to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. Luther received grace as a lover received a beloved, and he was born again. And this grace touched him, reformed him, and he had to share that good news. He had to share it. Good news can't be kept. You can't let your light under a bushel. You have to let it share. So he shared it, and he reformed him. He reformed the church, reformed the whole world. And in turn, the Reformation happened. By the Spirit of God and God alone. Luther would say, never say it's Lutheran, it's evangelical, the true evangelicals, Christians that believe the good news of Jesus Christ, not a political party, that's a bunch of crap, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now his activity became a response to God's love. And he was energized by the grace of God. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't to earn anything. He didn't have to earn anything. He wanted to share the good news. And that grace is with us today, calling us to reform our lives, to know a love that will never let you go in Jesus Christ, and to live it this morning. And that can be a painful enterprise, because grace always comes in contradiction to something that is in our world. It's called original sin. And that's our desire not to love God, not to let God give us his grace. We want to be God. We want to be in control. We want to put on a mask. We want to make everybody think that we are self-sufficient. We have it all made. We don't need anything else, and we don't need God. We are in control. We are masters of our own fate, captains of our own ship. We don't need anything else. We are individuals, and we are autonomous. The Bible plainly tells us that this style of thinking and activity is called idolatry. Idolatry. Making ourselves, making political parties, making creation, anything else, God instead of the true God. Our illusion of self-rule, deformative pride, that is just the opposite of grace. It is our open rebellion against God. Grace is that overwhelming joy to know that we are loved. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it fills our hearts, and we become, live for, even will die for the other person, because we know that we have to worry about life or death. Christ takes care of it for us. We are free in Christ. Grace is that overwhelming desire to love God and give Jesus his rightful place in our lives, in our relationships, in our hearts, because we know we are deeply loved by God. You don't know how much you're loved by God. You think you know. You know, think you know love. That's minuscule. God loves you so much, so much, because we know that we are deeply loved by God, that from before we were knit together in our mother's womb, God knew us. God loved us. God created us to be in this time, in this place, to know his amazing grace and to share his amazing grace with others who need it. We are God's beloved. We will be God's beloved. And that doesn't change. You know why? No matter what happens in this world, Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That doesn't change. That amazing love will never change. Grace versus idolatry. That was the fight of the Reformation. That was the battlefield of the Reformation. And this battle will continue until Christ returns. By his resurrection from the dead, we've got a foretaste. Remember Mary, Lazarus, Jesus, and Mary said, I know you are the way, but I know the resurrection will happen on the last day. And Jesus said, what? I am the resurrection and the life. We've got a foretaste of what's going to happen with God right now in Jesus Christ. This is why St. Paul and Martin Luther, we are called to return to our baptism every day, to die and rise with Christ every day, because his grace is fleeting. And the world comes at us, and everything comes at us, and we tend to forget the amazing grace we have in Jesus Christ. And idolatry calls us to unchristian ways of being. We need to be nurtured by Christ. Trying in this unnatural way, this idolatry way, tries to seduce us, entice us, tempt us to the way of self-rule, the way of death, the way of competition, the way of hooray for me and the heck with you, the way of calling other people less than human because they're a different color or a different nationality, because they're immigrants. St. Paul said, we're neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. All are welcome at the table. We are all one in Christ. So we know there is a Luther and St. Paul and Jeremiah, who've been gripped by a vision of grace, a vision of the kingdom of God, a vision of a world where grace is victorious, a vision because the crucified, the Messiah would never be crucified on a tree, but the crucified was raised from the dead. He lives. He lives. And because he lives, we know that we shall live. Even though we die, we know that grace is victorious right now, not just in the by and by, right now. And to know that vision is to let go and to let God. And although many times we're control freaks, that's hard to open our hands to let go. And there's the pain, because that calls for letting something in us die so that something new may be born in us. It means losing our ego control and giving God the control. It means losing our lives to find our lives. Where in your life right now do you need God's grace to reform you, to know joy, to know a peace that passes all understanding, so that life and freedom and joy can be born in you, that you have hope for the new day, that you can be like a little child getting ready for Christmas on tiptoes looking for what God's going to do next and share your God sightings? Is that old grudge, that bitterness against that person who hurt you badly, that person that doesn't deserve forgiveness, does that gnaw you like a cancer and you can't stand that person? And if you see that person, you want to walk away or throw a stone at him or something. Is that tearing you down? No, a grace of God that forgives you and me and forgives that person. Let that amazing grace, surrender to that amazing grace. Let it go and let God. Do you feel that you are inferior? That if people really knew who you were, they would be disappointed. They would know that you're a fake. That's the devil working. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have eternal worth. Let that negative image go. Let God work in your life. Are you worried about our country's security? About our political situation? Do you feel no sense of security and you dread tomorrow? We are a democracy. In a few weeks, you can vote. Look at the persons. Look at the people that you're voting for. Do they do justice? Do they love kindness? And as best as they can, because every human's faulty, do they walk humbly with your God? Do they tell the truth? If they do, vote for them. And let go of your fear. Vote. Let God. Be born again in God's grace right now. Let the warmth and light of love of the grace form you and reform you and transform you more and more into the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control of Jesus Christ in your life. Receive Christ and his benefits. Let go of all that adulterous, dark, demeaning stuff. You have dignity. You are a Christian. You belong to God. And you can joyously take that in and carelessly let that love flow through you. A little kid comes to you with a mask on. Don't give him one piece of candy. Give him five pieces of candy. Be generous. Be generous freely. Give to this ministry generously, freely, because you're doing God's work. Oh, yes. Reformation in grace hurts a lot. But the pain is a labor pain of something beautiful and new going to be born in you and through you into the world. We are justified by God's grace through faith, apart from the works of the law. Luther rediscovered this, and it changed his life, and he changed the church, and the Holy Spirit through him changed the world. And that grace acting on you right now. Open up. Open your heart. Let Christ in. Know it. Love it. Learn it. Do it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.